I want you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Job. Job chapter 14. Job 14. And it says, man that is born of a woman is short of days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Christ can, but we can't. Not one. Seeing man's days are determined, the number of his months are with God. And the Lord hath appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Now, last week here in our community, a 17-year-old high school student played in a basketball game in the Ironton High School gym. And shortly after the game was over, the young man came into the locker room and sat down. And then he fell on the floor and died of cardiac arrest. Now, I and every one of you feel great sympathy for the parents of this young man and for his family and for his friends and for his schoolmates. And I've been following the story carefully in the paper, as I'm sure many of you have. And in reading about this incident in the paper, something caught my attention and caused me to prepare this message that I'm bringing to you today. I read where school officials brought in counselors and trained personnel to help the young students at this high school to cope with the death of their friend. ...25% of the students didn't even come to school the next day. And those who did come had counselors and trained personnel to talk to them and to help them cope with this sorrow. I wondered when I read that, perhaps you did too, I wondered what these counselors and these, as they were called, trained personnel, I wonder what these people had to say to these young folks that would help them cope with death. Did you think about it? Wonder what they said. Wonder what method they used. Wonder what words they spoke to help these young people cope with sorrow. Something they didn't understand. Something unexpected. What did these counselors have to say to these young people that would equip them to deal with the trials and sorrows and heartaches of this natural life? How does one cope with sorrow? I not only wondered what these people had to say, but I wondered about something else. I wondered if I have been faithful in speaking to you through these years and helping you to cope with death and sorrow and heartaches and trials and everyday difficulties which come our way. Well, if I haven't, I'm going to be faithful today and speak to you on this subject, how to cope with real sorrow. Now, I believe, I really believe, if you'll listen to me, and if you'll hear what I say, if you'll listen to me, and if you'll hear what I have to say, and if you'll believe and receive the word of our Lord, if you will, then you won't need earthly counselors to help you cope, and you won't need earthly, natural, trained personnel and human philosophers, psychologists, to help you cope with what you must endure. And that is the trials and sorrows and realities of life. You'll find, if you'll listen to me, and if you'll hear and believe God's word, you'll find all the help you need, all the strength you need in His purpose and His grace, and all the comfort you'll need for whatever difficulty God has ordained for you this day. Now, please understand as I speak, please understand three things. Number one, the unexpected. And we ought to expect the unexpected. The unexpected, and as people like to say, untimely. That's a bad word. The untimely death of a daughter or son or husband or wife or dear friend is a shock. It is. And it's a sorrow and a trial that is so difficult and so heavy. And I speak from experience. And many of you have experienced the same thing. It's not easy, is it? It's hard. All right, with that out of the way, that's understood. Secondly, and understand this as I speak, the death or the sudden homegoing of a loved one or a friend leaves a void. It leaves a part of this life which no one else can fill, ever. Even though life goes on, and it does, and activities and daily living continues as usual for all who are here, that's so. But that one that is departed is never forgotten. Never. Nor their memory erased. Time heals and so forth, but it doesn't erase. So many things remind us of those whom we love who are not here today. So many things remind us of them. I could go through this congregation and tell you places out here that where friends used to sit that are not there now, and things remind me of them. So many things. I smile when something happens. I say, that's what so-and-so would have said, or so-and-so would have enjoyed this. You know what I mean. So that out of the way, that's true. They're not forgotten. Their memory lives on. Thirdly, don't be ashamed to cry. We weep. I'd be ashamed if I couldn't cry. Paul said, we weep with those that weep. We are men and women of sorrow and acquainted with grief, just like our Master. My Lord wept. My Lord wept. But we realize this. Change and decay and death is a part of this pilgrimage. Will you understand that? It's a part of it. The songwriter put it in these words, swift to its close, ebbs out life's little day. Its joys grow dim, its glories fade away, change and decay. In all around I say, O God, who changes not, abide with me. Change is a part of our lives. There is a time and a season for each thing. Turn to Ecclesiastes. Now you've got to go over here with me. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Change and decay in all around I see. A part of this life, a part of this pilgrimage is change. Change is a time like summer, winter, fall, and spring. It changes. Everything on this earth changes. And the wise man says in Ecclesiastes 3, to everything there is a season. Are you with me? Chapter 3, verse 1. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. See what he's saying? There's a time to kill. There's a time to heal. There's a time to break down. There's a time to build up. There's a time to weep. There's a time to laugh. You understand what he's saying? Time doesn't stand still. Life doesn't stand still. You must not try to hold it at one place. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. You're not going to stay back here as an infant. It's time to die. There's a time to plant. Spring comes, we plow the ground, we plant. We enjoy the garden. Well, you can't keep it. You can't spray it with paraffin and preserve it. You got to pull it up. Time to dig it up. It's time to weep. Time to stop weeping. That's right. Time to go on. It's time to weep. It's time to laugh. Don't quit laughing, but don't laugh all the time. It's time to mourn. Time for agony and grief. It's time to dance. Be happy. Gather the family around you. Make everybody rejoice. There's time. There's time to cast away stones and there's time to gather stones together. There's time to embrace. Time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to get. There's a time to lose. There's time to keep. There's a time to cast away. There's a time to rend. There's a time to sow. The time to keep silence. It's a time to speak. It's a time to love. It's a time to hate. It's a time of war. It's a time of peace. You understand what he's saying? Stop right there a moment. You're wise if you do. You can't live in the past. You can't live in the future. You live in the present. There's a time when I was a little boy, born 65 years ago, almost, Fairfield, Alabama. Lived there in the home of my mother and dad. There's a time for that. Time I became a young teenager and went off to war. Time for my mother and dad to tell me goodbye. I came back. I met my dear wife. Time for me to leave home now and be joined to my wife. My mother and daddy no longer live with them, no longer under their roof or authority. I've got a home now. And then I had children. Time of joy. And then they grew up. Now they're gone. My mother and dad died. It's a time for that. It's a time when mother and dad it's time, I'm the grandfather of these children down here. They're going to, one of these days, have to tell their granddaddy goodbye. And it's a day they're going to tell their parents goodbye. It's a day they're going to tell some friends goodbye. See, there's time and season. There's time to born, time to live, time to plant, time to root up, time to weep, time to mourn, time to laugh, time to embrace, time not to embrace, time to kill, time not to heal, time. And it just goes on. You can't stop it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't try. You can't stop it. That's what he's saying. You're wise if you can get hold of that. You're unwise if you can't. You can't make it stand still in any one place. You must not try to hold to any particular point or part or person who must fulfill God's great design and move on. I started pastoring this church 40 years ago, next September. Can't go on 40 more years. There's a time when this particular situation is going to change, and it's time to go on. You see what I'm saying? There's a time. Now look at the next verse, verse 9. And what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? Now what's he saying? This is what he's saying. There's no permanent earthly profit in anything that we do. No permanent profit. Earthly gain. All of our plans, all of our labors, all of our works, all of our building is temporary in this world. My time is short. Man's days are few. And he's going to leave it all to another. There's absolutely nothing here that's permanent. There's no profit, permanent profit, in anything that we aspire to accomplish in this world. We're building something for somebody else to use. That's right. I remember when I moved to Ashland. The C.H. Parson name was stamped on this town. That big store down there was the place. About half of y'all worked down there, didn't you? C.H. Parson. Big doings. He had a big home over here somewhere. King B. King P. Parsons, stamped all over this town. Where is it now? That place down there is a shell. He's gone and all of his memories gone. It's all done for. It served its time. But that applies to everything and everybody who walks through this world. There's no profit. That's what he says. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? What gain? What's he going to accomplish by it? Going to have to tell it all goodbye. It's going to serve its purpose and time, and it's gone. All right, read the next verse. I've seen the travail. I've seen the pain and the struggle. I've seen the trouble which God hath given to the sons of men. I've seen it. I know what I'm talking about, the wise man said. This struggle and pain and trouble that men go to gain wisdom and to gain knowledge and to gain honors. And to gain riches, they work, they strive, they labor, they get education, they strive for wisdom and honor and peace and strive for happiness. Happiness. Some gain these things, some don't. But even if they do, they don't keep it. They don't keep it. But there's a time for all things. There's a time for happiness. There's a time for sorrow. There's a time to build. There's a time to tear down. And watch this last line here. I've seen the travail which God had given to the sons of men to be exercised in all this. In other words, God's purpose in all of this, God's eternal purpose in all of this is to teach us, to humble us, to let us see that everything associated with this earth is vanity. That's what Solomon's whole book is about. Vanity of vanities. He said, I've tried riches, vanity. I've tried wisdom, vanity. I've tried pleasure, vanity. I've tried mirth, vanity. I've come to this conclusion. It's all vanity and vexation of spirit, everything. Almighty God is humbling us and teaching us and letting us know that everything associated with this world will fade away. The fashion of this world fadeth away. Happiness and peace is never to be found here. Never to be found here. It's only in Him. Happiness and peace and security and rest and profit and glory is only found in Him. All that's eternal and glorious is in Him, not here. Can you see that? There's a time to be born, there's a time to die. There's a time to laugh and a time to cry. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. There's a time to plant, there's a time to pull up. And it just keeps on going like spring and winter, summer and fall. Spring and winter, summer and fall. Keeps changing. And what profit is there? What gain is there? But verse 11, notice this. But I'll tell you this. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Here's what the wise man's saying. According to His purpose and His providence and according to His almighty power and working, everything here that God has done and is doing will be beautiful in His time. It's all going to accomplish a beautiful purpose. A friend of mine told me one time he went into a rug factory where they made rugs. Back years ago, they used, nowadays it's just this, blue or red or green or something, but used to be they had beautiful rugs with flowers and leaves and just all kind of colors. You go into a living room, there's a rug, boy. You remember those rugs in the parlors of people's houses? They were multicolored, just beautiful. And he said, I went to a factory where they made those things, and he said, I went into this room and I saw these big machines and they were just running like this, you know, and the thread was going into the machine. It was black thread and blue thread and red thread and orange thread and green thread and all these different threads going into this machine. And I thought, my, what a mess is going to be on the other side. When all those different threads are messed up together, red, blue, orange, green, red, all these different colors. But he said, I went on the other side of the machine and down the line, and I saw this beautiful rug coming out, and those flowers and designs were breathtaking, beautiful. And this machine had taken all of those different colors of thread, black and purple and red and blue and orange and green, and so distributed them and so worked them out that they came out in a gorgeous, gorgeous design on the other side of the machine. And this is what he's saying right here. God hath made everything beautiful in His time. And here's my life. Birth, poverty, depression, all these family, sorrow, gladness, joy, weeping, building, tearing down, gaining, losing, and all of it in one man's life. And that's you children, that's where you're going to live. Up and down, in and out, happy and sad, death and life, born and died, all these things, and they just go into the same person. But all things work together for good to them who love God, who are called according to His purpose. And all these things in God's time, on the other side of that wall and that river, every one of those events and actions and people that cross my path is going to make a flower for God's glory and my enjoyment. You wait and see. That's what he's saying. He's gonna make it beautiful. I can't. I messed it up here. But even my messes are gonna result in His glory. Even the wrath of man will praise the Lord. You wait and see.
You sit around saying, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, you should have to.
God will use it to accomplish his purpose. You shouldn't have for a lot of reason, but you did for his good reason.
That's right.
He's beautiful in his time. Also, now watch this. Hold on to your seat there now. Also, he has set the world in their heart.
Preacher, you mean I got the world in my heart?
Yep, I have too. A whole lot of it. I got a whole lot of it. A loving husband or a wife. Part of this world. That relationship's not going to continue. That's this world. These loving children and grandchildren, they're in my heart. But they're part of this life. A dear friend, you dear friends, this church, this congregation, you mean so much to me. You're on my occupation, your vocation, your work, your house. You love your house, don't you? I love mine. I love my garden. You love your farm. You love your fishing boat. Joe Turner loves his. Bob loves his. You love your golf clubs?
Ronnie does.
That's right. That's all part of the world, isn't it? Nothing wrong with it. I'll show you that in a minute. Properly used. No. You love your work. You got the world in your heart. That's right. Your antique collection, you ladies, some of you got antiques. You love them, don't you? Cooking? Boy, you like to fix those. I know you bought them by my house. Look at me. You just take pleasure, Esther, don't you, in making them beautiful cookies. They're good. But now remember, there's a time. You got the world in your heart. Read on. So that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. All of these things are part of us. God has made them a part of us. And we're such a part of him, we're earthbound creatures. That's right, we're walking through this world. We're earthbound creatures, and we cannot know, we cannot anticipate, we cannot find out this glorious purpose of God and work of God in all that God has decreed from the beginning to the end. Known unto God all his works from the beginning. Everything God's going to do, he's doing. But I've got to live here for a while. I've got to have a relationship with this dear lady. I can't live over yonder. I'm living here. I got to have a relationship with this dear son of mine and daughter-in-law and with my grandchildren, an earthly relationship. I can't live up yonder in the future somewhere, Bob. I can't be so heavenly minded I'm no earthly good. You see what I mean? I can't be so pious that I lose contact with and touch with people to whom I'm to minister and enjoy. He's put this world in our hearts. He's made us a part of this world, to enjoy this world. And this, he didn't mean for us to be able to enter into God's eternal purposes and plans, which he's purposed from the beginning. We've got to finish this job. We got to finish this walk. We got to walk through this world. We got things yet to do. Fellow asked Spurgeon one time, he said, I just don't have dying grace. Spurgeon said, are you dying? He said, well, no. He said, you don't need it. What do you need with dying grace? You're not dying. He'll make everything beautiful in his time. And he has set us in this world and given us an attachment. You can't minister to people unless you love them. That's right. You can't live in harmony with somebody unless you care. You can't do your work unless you put your heart into it. You can't serve your employer and do the right kind of job if you're not a good workman. God wants you to do what you're doing with all your might. And he's not yet revealed to you what's going on over yonder and what he's going to do. You just can't know. I see through a glass dimly. I know in part. I preach in part. But when that which is perfect is come,
I'm going to put away these toys and these childish things, and I'll have no more interest in this place.
Isn't that right?
But I've got to have an interest in it right now. And that's the way God's designed it. Is it time to be born? Is it time to be a kid? Be a good kid. Is it time to be a silly teenager? Be a good one. Is it time to be a husband and start building your house and working your farm? Is it time to be a grandpa? Is it time to be a workman? Is it time to be a boss? Is it time to build? Is it time for these things? One step at a time. Do it. And then when God makes everything beautiful, this will seem like child's toys. That's right. But he doesn't want me to look on it that way right now.
It's serious.
Read on. Now, verse 12, I know there's no good in them. I know there's no good, no profit in these worldly things. There's nothing lasting here in these relationships and these doings and these work. You going to put a roof on a house? It's going to rot. Well, you're not going to get the idea, I'll just do a half job then. No, sir, you do the best job you can. You know, you see what I'm saying? I know there's no good in it, but for a man to rejoice, I can rejoice for the time in all that God gives me and all God permits me to have, making proper use of it. I can do good in my lifetime. I can do the best I can with what he's given me to do and to do with. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. This is all the gift of God. Enjoy that little precious baby in your home. And enjoy it with all your heart. And raise it in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And be the best parent you can. But there's coming a time. Let it go. Let it go. Go on your fishing trip and enjoy catching the fish and have a good time. God's given you that to enjoy. Enjoy it. But you can't play the rest of your life. Let it go. You see what he said? There's a time. There's a time. Here's a dear friend. Been in my life and God takes him away. I can't sit around and mourn and weep and carry on and make everybody else miserable. I've got to give him up, let him go, and turn and have another friend and help him out. See what I'm saying? That'll help you parents. And I told Arsene when our son Robbie died, and I told her and the children, listen, he lived in a happy home. It ain't going to change. No, sir, we're not going to make this place a place of mourning and a place of emptiness and a place of dread and a place of gloom and put his picture around everywhere and put a shrine up to him. No, sir, we're living people. That's right. There's a time to tell him goodbye. Now, you know what I said when I started. That place is never occupied by anybody else. But there's somebody else to occupy this place. And they need it. There's a time. And when you realize, when you get this through these, it's hard, isn't it? When you get this thing understood, that everything, there's a time, and God's given us to enjoy it. It's the gift of God. It's the gift of God. It's a gift of God. But hold loosely to it. Let it serve its purpose, its time, realizing it is a time gift. Now, there's an unspeakable gift. The gift of his son. Got nothing to do with time. There's a gift of life. God has given us eternal life. Got nothing to do with time. There's a gift of the family of God. There's a gift of Christ Jesus, his blood. There's a gift of his mercy. That's got nothing to do with time. These are gifts of God here too. But they're time gifts. And don't you try to make them anything else. They're time gifts. Enjoy them. But now watch the next line. And I know that whatsoever God doeth, it'll be forever. It'll be forever. I know, even in this limited mind of mine, limited understanding, I know what God does. What God does is going to be forever. What God does. All right, listen to me now. the world with its temporary joys, its trials, its pleasures, its sorrows, its tears shall pass away. But God has a new heaven and new earth that'll never pass away. The old covenant of works has failed. Man is hopelessly in sin, failure, and death. But God has made a covenant of grace. In Christ His Son, He will not fail. He'll bring us to glory. This body right here is going to grow older and older and older and die. But God's redeemed me body and soul by the life and death of His Son, and I live forever. To die is gain. This family of flesh, which I love so dearly, will all pass away one at a time. But God's going to bring us together someday in His presence in eternal glory. It'll never die. And this grace of hope, faith, and love is so limited, but God will one day turn faith into fulfillment, hope into reality, and love into perfection. And He says here, what God does, it'll be forever. Nothing can be put to it. It's finished. It's perfected. It's complete. Nothing can be taken from it. Of those which Thou hast given me, I'll lose nothing. And God does it, that men may fear before Him. Now watch this, verse 15. That which hath been is now. And that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Turn back one page to Ecclesiastes 1:9. Now I want you to look at this. Ecclesiastes 1:9. The thing which hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there's no new thing under the sun. Same thing, isn't it? All right, go back to verse 15 of Ecclesiastes 3. Now, this will help you cope with sorrow, trial, and trouble, even death. He says here, that which hath been is now. In other words, that which God purposed before the foundation of the world. That which God predestinated and decreed in Christ for His people, for His church, for His bride. That which is decreed from all eternity is now, by the good providence of God, being accomplished. That's what's happening. That's what's taking place. This child is born into my home from all eternity. This child lives. This child marries. That child dies. This one dies. That one dies. This happens. That happens. That which hath been is happening right now. You don't suppose for a minute that these are accidents, do you? You don't think that for a moment, do you? The Scripture says God ruleth over all. The Scripture says not a sparrow falls to the ground without your Father. The hairs of your head are numbered. All things of God. He declares the end from the beginning, and that which He's decreed is happening now. That's what He said. Now look at the next line. And that which is to be hath already been. In other words, what's going to happen tomorrow is already in the books for God's children. Charlie, that's so. It's in the book. It's already been. All that is to be in my life and the lives of all of His people for His glory has already been determined. That's what that says. That's where I get my comfort. I get my comfort from this. Look at the last line here in that verse. And God requires that which is past. God requires all that's purposed in the past to be done. He requires everything in the past to be accomplished. He's got to do it. Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, but He's got to die. All that happened in the life of our Lord was prophesied in the Old Testament, but it had to be done. And everything in your life, whatever it may be, if you're a child of God, is decreed and designed and purposed by your Heavenly Father. And it's already down. Now, let me ask, would you change that? Who would you want to determine it? You just take from here on, just from this moment on in your life. Who would you turn it over to? You? Me? Please don't. A committee? Let's leave it where it is. Let's leave my future where it is. My times are in His hand. Now that's the way to cope with sorrow. You see, this is the way one copes with anything that happens, is to believe in life and death, believe God. And believe that God Almighty, everything He sends our way is for His glory and our good, to accomplish His purpose and make everything beautiful out yonder. And to believe that eternal life's in Christ, and believe that death is what God says it is. It's precious in the sight of the Lord. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. To live is Christ, to die is gain. And I tell you this, in God's time, there's a time to be born, a time to die, and a time to weep, and a time to laugh, and a time for war, and a time for peace. And there's a time on God's calendar where everything's going to be beautiful. And that's the time I'm looking forward to. That'll be glory for me. When He takes all of this that's happened in my life and makes it beautiful. And He's the only one who can. Because that's the way He designed it. So that's how you cope with sorrow. There's a time for all things under heaven. Time is a part of my life. The Lord Himself has ordered all things and their time. And what He does for my good and the good of His kingdom and the good of His people and for His glory. And in His own time, He'll make it all beautiful and perfect. And it's all right. It's like Eli was sitting there. Eli knew this. When they said, your sons, what's going to happen to your sons? He said, it's all right. It's the Lord. Let Him do what He will. When they told Job about all the things that happened in his life, he said, it's all right. The Lord gave and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's how you cope with it. Isn't it? That's how you cope with it. All right, let's sing that song, number 505. That will be glory for me. When all my labors and trials are over, I'm safe on that blissful shore. Just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. I hope the message has been helpful to you.